This is Gam Chat. My name is Greg.
I'm McCoy.
And I'm Dee.
We're three Filipino gay guys trying to make sense of anything and everything in the world today. Welcome to our podcast.
Yay.
So guys, did you learn anything this week? Because I sure did.
I think that's an invitation for McCoy to start. I know.
For yourself.
Okay.
God.
I should not be drinking wine before and during a Zoom meeting.
Wait, what? Like during a meeting? Like a work meeting?
It's not quite work. But I should
oh,
not.
Oh, wait. Is this not quite work? Is this a vidjok? Is that what they call it?
Vidjokol? No. Because that would be appropriate to actually be drinking during a vidjokol if you want. But it's a Zoom meeting with other podcasters. And I should not have been drinking because there are things you want to say, but you never do because you're like, they might take this the wrong way. But when you have been drinking wine, you will just say it.
Is this like new information to you? It's like, when you drink wine on Zoom, it's the same like thing like drinking wine in person. It doesn't change.
Like a liquid courage. That's what it is, basically.
Yes, I just realized that almost towards the end of the meeting.
All right, so what did you do? Let's just tell us what you did that was embarrassing.
It wasn't quite embarrassing. I was just very honest, and maybe I shouldn't have been that honest, but...
Whose feelings did you hurt, you jerk?
They weren't in the meeting, so they didn't hear about it.
Oh, my God.
But I did solve a problem, so which is good, because I was a little bit tipsy, that I was like, I'll get this done for you, since it seems like you're having issues with this issue. Let's solve this right now. So I got on it.
Wait, so you volunteered more work on your plate because you're...
Oh, no. It was just like a quick 10-minute conversation to solve an issue that was stagnant. Let's put it that way. And it's no longer stagnant. It's been solved.
Sounds like a confrontation that needed to happen, but it was like put on hold for how long?
Some people find me intimidating. I use that to get my way. Meaning...
So it's a Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay. So it's a Tuesday for you. That's what it was. Yes. Okay.
Well, how about you guys? It seems like I've just taken too much time to talk about how drunk I was during the Zoom thing.
Okay. Well, for me, remember last time we spoke or saw each other, I was buying a couch. We bought that couch, and now I am debating if I want to buy a sewing machine so I can make covers for that couch. I'm just like, I'm like 80. I'm 80-year-old woman, like trying to make something like happen in my life. Yes, I know.
No, I think you entered the new chapter in gay life. Couch and a sewing machine.
Because you know why? I have things listed in my iPad of what I could make with that damn sewing machine. And it's like couch covers, the seat cover that I have, and then like, it's like endless, and I don't know why. I'm ready to invest like on a $500 sewing machine.
I say go for it. I'll go with you to the garment district to get fabric or whatever. We'll help you out.
So that's where I am.
My aunt could help you out. She does a lot of sewing, and then she picks like the fabric.
So just send me your mom and auntie's measurement for their dusters, and I will make them with pockets and a lace on the top.
And also a belt so they can like, it's like cinch the waist kind of thing. Yeah.
They don't do that. No one does that, do they?
Well, that's why. I don't make shit that people make already. I innovate shit. That's why.
Actually, my sister-in-law wore her duster outside, but she put like a belt on and a cardigan. So it's like, it looks like a regular dress. See?
Wait, McCoy, I can totally see D coming when we see him in person again. He's going to be wearing a duster.
Our next FaceTime.
And he's going to have a one list with him. He's just going to be like.
And under my armpits. Like while I'm like talking to you guys, the one list is there. Yeah. How about you, Greg?
Well, I don't know. This week, a question popped in my head this week. And I need to get your thoughts on this. You know, my aunt likes to, like, I like, you know, when I'm done with clothes, you know, I'm attached to it. I, you know, I try to get rid of it. And my aunt will see it and she'll take all my clothes, the old clothes. That, you know, they're still pretty good. You know, my shoes, I'm trying to get rid of all these shoes. I have so much shoes to get rid of. And my aunt was going through my bags, trying to grab all the shoes to send to the Philippines.
Yeah.
Now, and I was thinking, well, God, I feel bad. Like, why do we have to send, like used clothes back to the Philippines. Couldn't we, you know,
buy them new ones?
Yeah, I don't know. Wait, what's your thoughts on those?
No, I get your point, but it's been a tradition within Filipino families to do that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that because you're actually recycling your clothing.
Good point.
Instead of buying new ones, that creates even more waste. And believe you me, because I have gone to the Philippines and I'm like, oh, that used to be my shirt. I'd see it on someone, and they are very thankful to have it.
But it has to be, okay, I heard someone talk about this.
It has to be, like, at least, like, it's still good. Like, they can still wear it. It doesn't have holes or anything.
Not also that. It has to be, like, climate, weather appropriate. Yes. I mean, you're not sending, like, a knitted, like, cardigan or a trench coat to the Philippines, and then it's, like, tropical weather.
Well, in Baguio, they like to wear tons of jackets and, like, layer up.
But do you have cousins that lives there?
No, a lot of Filipinos are able to travel to, like, let's say Korea or Japan in the wintertime. So they do have winter clothing that they hide
right now
under their bed or something. Yeah, some do.
But aren't they, like, in quarantine or something?
Well, yes, but hopefully that's not going to be forever. Hopefully.
So you guys are both saying that it's okay.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, like, it's like going to, like, a vintage shop and just buying clothes that's been worn by someone else. Except this time it's free for someone to have.
Pretty soon I won't have to send my old clothes. I will be just making them with my new sewing machine I make my couch covers.
And your duster.
Actually, Greg, I'll tell you this. In Baguio, ukay-ukay is very popular. I think the word ukay comes from hukay-hukay, which means to dig. Because they dig, like, in, like, there's, like, bins of used clothing, and they dig, and then they buy the used clothing.
This has made me think of this. There's a Filipino, like, streetwear designer, and he has a shop in the Philippines called Factory Boy. I don't know if you guys heard of it. And I was gonna, I like wanted to buy some jackets. Kuya
Boy, the same as the Manong driver that took you around the province?
No, it's not that driver.
Okay.
But the company's called Factory Boy, and they have a website called It's Vintage, I think, .ph. Uh-huh. And they even shipped to here in the States, and I wanted to buy some of his stuff. But he also sells vintage t-shirts. That are you know, I think there's a lot of t-shirts that came from the States, and they're not cheap. They're pretty expensive, but I was like, that's interesting. It's like stuff that I would have sent to the Philippines.
You're now buying.
I'm now thinking about buying it back at triple the price.
So that Fila shirt just came back.
Yeah, I'm not going to respond how I what I bought, but I'm helping our people out. My people out.
Yes.
And on that note, let's go into this week's episode. In this episode, we're going to chat about navigating the queer identity in professional environments to leadership roles. Anywhere you can say, we're here, we're queer, get the fuck over it, and please, oh please, sign my paycheck. Which is a lot easier said than done. Joining us today is Dustin Domingo, a co-host for MeSearch Podcast, featuring Phil and Perspectives. He's also currently the Director of Curriculum and Instruction for LACAS Mentorship, a program that empowers high school and college students to connect and develop essential life skills. Hey, Dustin.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, we have a fourth person.
This is exciting. I'm very, I'm energized to be in this room because I listen to y'all's podcast, and I just find that you all have this amazing energy and dynamic that, like, I could just listen to. Like, I love being on the fly in the wall, so it's strange for me, like, just being here with you because it's just, like, my favorite show, my favorite television show.
Aw, thanks for saying that.
I don't know if anybody else watches reality TV, but this is, like, comparable to something I would binge on Netflix.
Oh, okay. On that note, Dustin, what reality show would we be like?
I don't want to say Love is Blind, but maybe a little bit of Love is Blind.
And Love is Blind is about what?
Okay, so Love is Blind is about, they basically put these dating hopefuls in rooms and they speed date / blind date, but it's like truly a blind date where they have a wall partitioned between the two, like, dating participants. And the premise is at the end of the season, you have to try and find your soulmate. You have to propose to somebody within the space of the show. In order to leave the blind speed dating situation, you have to propose to somebody on the other side, and then you all get to know each other outside in real life. You live together and prepare for your wedding.
How do I sign up for this?
There's, you know what? Netflix just released a
casting call.
A link. Like an advert. Yeah, a casting call. So they released a casting call to participate in any of their reality TV shows. So I have it saved, so I can send it to you.
Go ahead. Send it over.
Okay. Yeah. But if it's not that, then it's Sexy Beasts. Have you all heard of Sexy Beasts?
Oh, I love Sexy Beasts.
Oh, yeah, that I've seen the preview for that, yes.
Wait,
yes.
What's that show about? I don't watch reality TV, I'm sorry.
McCoy, you'll be great for this one, too.
Yeah, so Sexy Beasts is basically, somebody on Netflix was like, I like The Masked Singer. I also like The Bachelor / The Bachelorette. I also like Love is Blind. And I also like furries or fuzzies, whatever they call them. Let's just make it all one show. And that's the Sexy Beast. Yeah.
So basically you're dating around while you're dressed up like as a
like an animal?
Yeah, basically.
Which is like a kink for some people.
Yeah. So basically people are dressed up as cosplay and then you go on dates.
Yeah.
So one person goes on three separate dates. All of them are dressed in costumes. And the main dating person, the bachelor or the bachelorette equivalent, gets to go on multiple dates and pick their ideal partner without ever having seen them. And then at the end, they do like a reveal so you can see who your dating actually looks like.
You getting some ideas, McCoy?
No, I only like to dress up in very specific situations. I don't think this is the show for me.
Okay.
But they have a whole crew.
So you would not be the Sexy Beast.
No. I mean, I am, but...
Meow.
Yeah, it's actually... They really are sexy beasts. I mean, the people that they have them on, like, first of all, the makeup is amazing. The costume makeup is stunning.
Yeah, it's like definitely special effects makeup. Yeah,
it's not Party City. Like McCoy, it's like,
oh,
it's
that's what like, I'm thinking. Yeah. No, okay.
You're not like the sexy nurse or the sexy witch. It's like full on like prosthetics.
It's makeup at the level of like television and film.
Okay, if that's the case, then I may look into this. I think they need me on that show.
But McCoy, what sexy beast would you be?
I don't know. I'll let someone else decide.
Ooh, you would be a koala bear.
A koala bear. A koala bear.
A koala bear.
Koala bear.
Koala bear.
I just imagine like a Care Bear and like showing his
with
chest.
With a teardrop. And it's like with a little tear.
A sad face emoji. Like,
under the eye.
Hey, that's pretty adorable. I would watch that. I would root for you.
Really? Well, I don't know what I would give you, McCoy. I don't know.
Don't.
I think panda would be probably too easy, right? Because it's like, oh, you're a gay Asian.
How come there's a racial component all of a sudden?
And they also had a panda bear already, so.
Yeah, they did pandas.
I just want McCoy to be a cheetah so he can walk around going like, growl. Like, the entire show. Like growling with hand gestures.
Or just put a little duster on him. Oh, that's a good laugh. I'm sorry. So, yeah, on this episode.
Yeah, I don't even remember what the question was. What was the question?
Well, we're going to start off the episode with this one question. Just to get ourselves chatting about it. What are the challenges being queer in different professional settings?
I mean, for me, it's like it depends on what that setting is, how liberal or how conservative in general, like what does the organization value? I remember looking when I was like job hunting or whenever I've been job hunting, I always like try to play a game of how easy it is to find their equal employment opportunity statement. And if it's like too difficult to find, then to me, that's a red flag. If it's very easy to find, then that's a great sign. Because there are some institutions that have very public-facing statements of like, yes, we value diversity, and others, like, really, they don't. So that's one. Like, for job seekers, I would say that's one challenge, is like trying to decipher like what you're getting into. Then the other is like actually engaging in like office politics and trying to get to know like who is a safe person to be around. I think with the LGBTQ folks that I've worked with, I think for younger folks, it's a little bit more of a challenge. And for the older folks, like what I've found is that they just don't, they care less about what other people think. But if the question is about challenges, I would say, you know, if it's not organizational values, it's the individuals and like what they value and trying to figure out like who you can be safe around.
Got it. So you work with high school and college students, and you're saying that there is, it's more challenging for, would you say, like, you're saying younger professionals, right? Why is that?
I would say, I mean, I'm speaking from like a general like corporate setting, because I do like as the director of curriculum and instruction for Lacoste. Yes, I do work with younger folks, but I also work just in higher education in general. I work with people from all different ages and backgrounds. I would say for younger people, it's difficult going into a space with older folks just because there's like differences in generational values, and you know, times change. Not that that's a bad thing, but they're in, when you're talking about who you're working with in like the workforce, you're gonna have people as young as like their teen years, as old as like, hey, I'm about to retire next month, like how you doing? So it just, you're going to get a range of personalities and cultures. In the Lacoste space, I think I'm lucky to know that that particular space is very open-minded, more liberal-leaning, so they're open to LGBTQ identities and so forth. So it's not such a struggle for people in that setting to be authentically themselves. But like in a traditional like corporate setting or office setting or whatever else, where there's a huge range of personalities and cultures, it's much more difficult trying to figure out like who you can be authentic with.
Yeah, I think I have the same struggle with, you know, working with Greg and McCoy, because the age difference is so big that like I have a hard time just being myself sometimes. It's like, they don't get it.
They don't get it, right?
No,
it's just, it's like, so hard being Gen Z, right?
Yeah, it's just like...
You're barely Gen Z, D.
Borderline. You're like baby millennial.
But I think that's one thing I never got to experience, because all my work experiences are like in very small independent companies, so I never had to navigate to like the big settings of having different people of different backgrounds all the time. So that's one, I think I've voiced that out to McCoy and Greg before, like that's one thing I'm actually kind of looking forward to if I was to go and back out there in the field, is like more interaction with different people. But now I do see where you're saying, like, I've been lucky enough to have that. Most of my experiences kind of just, I guess by luck, that issue has never come up for me.
I think that's a blessing, because there are some people who start a career or like move into a new job, and I think it's a shock because it's like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. Like, and there's always going to be like toxic people wherever you go to work. But I think for any minority group, and especially for like LGBTQ plus communities, because socially, like that identity or that community has been like historically marginalized, even today, even through like advancements in laws and whatever, you're still going to meet people who think less of you and even like subconsciously like treat you different or treat you worse.
I feel like, you know, I think we are lucky being in the Los Angeles area. I think that it's, you know, it's at least in my field, in the film and also like nonprofit world, in some corporate world, like it's not uncommon to have a boss that's LGBTQ, you know, or someone in leadership, but that's not always the case. And that culture of inclusivity doesn't always filter down throughout the whole organization or company. I was just thinking about this. I was talking to a friend of mine who works on a big network show, and I can't say which one.
Oh my God, is it Sexy Beasts?
Can you mouth it? Just mouth it to us and we won't say it.
It's even actually bigger than that.
Oh my gosh. Blink twice if it's Love is Blind. I'm just kidding.
So my friend, she works in like props department of a big network show that has won so many awards. And this is the film industry, so there's, you know, there's our community everywhere, but in props and transportation. She is a woman, a lesbian woman. And she would tell me about how much discrimination that she feels on set with a bunch of guys, you know, where it's very testosterone heavy kind of culture and work environment. So she eventually just left. And because she couldn't be her authentic self, or because one, they didn't know, like, well, they don't normally see like a woman in this industry. And I think a lot of discrimination or judgment happens very passively. And it's almost like you have to be keenly aware or attuned to notice it. Because I do know in the film industry, they do treat women or lesbians and women and women of color differently. They just don't, you know, you won't maybe, like, it's not outward out there for you to see it. But if you pay attention, you can notice it.
I'll piggyback on that because you did mention LA. So I've only worked in LA and in New York, arguably some of the most liberal cities in the country. Well, they are, really. So I feel as if I have a lot of support within the community that exists in those cities. So I never felt like I had to hide myself. But there are industries where I've worked, for example, a construction company. Although I worked in the office setting, it was a very masculine energy, and I've never been the one to hide my identity. If they were to ask, I'm willing to talk about it. But in that situation, I'm not going to say I filtered what I said. More like, if you didn't ask, I'm not going to share it. But then again, because I come from... I'm just going to make me sound old. But I come from a generation of LGBTQ where we still experience having to hide ourselves, our true identity. So that carried on to me as an adult working in the corporate world. Because in the offices that I've worked at, even now, if they ask, I'll say it. Most of my coworkers know. Some are wondering. So they ask other people, like, is Mark or McCoy so-and-so? I'm very open. If they just come to me and ask me, yeah, I'll tell them. But it's not like, hi, I'm McCoy and I'm gay. You know, it's not like that. It's like, you know, I'm open. If you want to talk about it, good. Now, if I worked somewhere else, like, let's say a state in the middle of the country, in a city that's maybe a little bit more conservative, maybe I would think twice before I say something. I'll filter a lot more of my sassy personality.
Sassy, you sexy beast. Hi, I'm a sexy beast. Let me guys, you know, Dustin, you mentioned this word I think is really great, authenticity at work. Do you guys feel that you are your authentic self at work?
I feel like I'm getting there. I definitely feel in my current profession, again, like, separate from Lacoste, because that is a very open and liberal-leaning environment, I do have, like, a separate gig, which I'll keep a mystery for this podcast. In that setting, like, moving into that job, I was very young, and, like, also similar to what y'all talked about, McCoy specifically, and, like, trying to keep it to myself unless somebody asks, basically. Like, I felt very much like, okay, I don't need to make connections here, because if anybody asks, I'm going to have that difficult conversation. And you all know, like, there are times where it just feels like you're always coming out, like, one time after the other, if you're in a new setting. I just didn't want to have to do that. But over time, meeting more people who are from the community and who are living just, like, happy, like, carefree, and just very open, I'm getting to a place where I'm just very, like, I don't care. I don't care what you think. Like, if I'm also feeling very secure in my position and my role and, like, what I do and my capacity to get another job, if in case, like, something happens where I'm fired because of it, I'm like, dude, fine, fire me. Give me severance pay, I'll find another job, no big deal. Like, I feel confident enough in myself at this point in my life and in my age and my career. Like, I could survive. Granted, there are people in their lives who may be in less fortunate positions where maybe they feel like their job is at greater risk, or they feel like they can't find another job if they were to be fired, or maybe like their careers would be put in jeopardy. Like I definitely understand that feeling too, which is why I'm so grateful that now where I am in life and in my career, I'm like really stepping into just being more of me. Cause I also feel like, frankly, I'm fun. I'm funny. I'm sassy. I'm cool to have at the office. Like, why wouldn't you want me to be there? Because like that person I was 10 years ago in this career, like that person was so boring because you didn't know who they were. Like, I'm much more of a fun person to be around. If you want that part of me, like, you also have to understand, like, I'm part of the LGBTQ plus community, and like, I'm going to advocate for them and be a presence for those who feel like being themselves would be putting their job at risk, because I'm willing to put my job at risk if it means like other people will get to feel empowered.
Actually, that's one thing I'm very curious is the specifics of navigating like the dailies. Like what are the things that you guys disclose and hold back? Like, the way I've kind of gone through the experiences, I've never really hid myself. I've always thought I've acted the same way as I would act outside of work, just less cursing. but if I was asked about something else, then that's when I would disclose it. Other than that, I will act just like myself. I will mention who my partner is, who I'm with, or like experiences that I've had, just like more in like a professional limitations. I'm not sure if that's the same thing that you guys are doing. Oh, McCoy, I know different. Is he?
I follow the employee handbook.
There you go. Unless the door behind you is shut, then it's off again.
Yes. Yeah. Like, you know, there are things that are inappropriate to talk about in the office setting. So I'm very aware of that. But there are people in the office that I'm really close with, like friends with, where I can whisper, oh, you know, whatever. I'm not going to say here what we talk about. But, you know, there are just...
HIPAA you just have violations. To be,
yeah. No, not that. We don't talk about stuff like that. More like sexual harassment territory. So you just have to be aware of what you shouldn't bring up in the office setting. So you just have to be hyper aware of that. But when it comes to sexuality, and I mean my LGBTQ identity, I don't really hold back. If they ask, if they want to know something, I'll just tell them. Because there's no shame. There's no shame. For me, there's no shame in it.
I think what you said about following the employee handbook is at bare minimum, like, what everybody should do.
Yes.
But I totally agree. Like, they're like, if I'm looking at my colleagues who are straight, they get to post pictures of their family. Like, for a lot of people in the LGBTQ plus community, that's like very sensitive territory. Like, that's very much putting on blast who you are. Like, and that's not necessarily cool with somebody sitting one or two desks away from you. So that can be a very that's a point of stress to have to display your partner or your spouse.
Okay, I get that point. But if if I was in that situation, my mentality is, let's take this to HR then. If you have an issue with me displaying my family like you are, so let's take this to HR and then let's hash this out. Let's talk.
Oh, yeah. I'm all for that.
Because I'm not the one in the wrong. You know, you have an issue with my family and the way I chose to compose my family. That's on you. That's your problem. So let's talk this out, because as far as I know, there's protection in the state that we live in for my community in the employment space. Am I right? Am I just assuming that?
You're right. And that's, I don't want to speak for like laws and stuff, but like, and that's one, it's one of the reasons why I totally agree with understanding the employee handbook. And I'm not saying like you need to memorize it, but like understand the pertinent information as it relates to like LGBTQ and other like minority protections, because it should be in there. If it's not, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
But if you understand what rules you are or are not breaking, then like there's no reason why you can't share a little bit of your personal life with your colleagues, because that to me is like a norm. People have like water cooler conversations about what they did over the weekend. You should be free to have those conversations and to express what brings you joy. And if that means your family and your loved ones, like, why not share that with people? Within the limitations of, like, professional conversation. Again, understand them play handbook.
I don't know if McCoy actually read the handbook.
Actually, I do.
Yeah, I do too.
You break it.
I never break.
I think the rules. McCoy keeps it in his back pocket just because whenever he comes across someone and wants to slap them with it, it's like, here you go.
Session A, point C, states.
Oh, you're one of those. I don't know if I would want to work with you. I'm just kidding.
You know, this is interesting because I think I'm coming from, I think personally for me, I'm actually quite the opposite at work. Like, I think, you know, when I'm in my own space, I'm very free and I'm just myself. But when it comes to like a corporate kind of setting for myself, because I kind of work in corporate nonprofit world, and our CEO is actually gay and he has a family. But for me, I don't disclose my personal life at work. Even though I'll hang out, talk to people and everything. But for some reason, I think it's kind of the old school way of thinking of being, I guess, you know, early on having your sexuality weaponized in work environments. Has just positioned me, or maybe like has made me feel more safe at work when I don't disclose my personal life. You know, I am still who I am. I mean, I think everybody knows I'm gay at work, but I don't tell them like who my boyfriend is. I don't tell them like, you know, the entire stuff that I do on the weekends are questionable. I don't tell them I go to West Hollywood. I'll be like, hey, let's go to West Hollywood, or maybe like that, you know, to some of them. But I won't actually talk about my personal life. So I tend to compartmentalize my identity at work just because I don't want to be triggered. And I've been in situations where I had a coworker saying very homophobic things to me, right? Or around me, not knowing it was that I was gay, because everybody for some reason thinks I'm straight. Clearly not. I did report him to HR, and I did tell HR that they need to do diversity training for all the employees. And then they did implement my idea to leadership, and now they're spreading it to the whole company. But I was just like, oh, I just don't want to deal with it, you know? I just don't want to deal with I don't know, like when it comes to work, I just want to work. I just want to go to my job and just do what I need to do and not feel like I have to defend myself for some reason. And so I feel safer not to disclose all the information about myself.
But is it fair to say that that coworker has never gone into work and met you at all before? That's why he doesn't know you were gay?
I mean, how could he not know?
Just kidding.
No, we were like... I thought it's clear that I'm gay. I know. I mean, we're in the same car together at one point. I'm like,
But Greg, being an elder of the LGBTQ community,
excuse me,
don't you feel the responsibility?
You are now a beast. You're not sexy anymore. You're not the sexy beast. You beast.
So, like I've been saying, as an elder of the community, don't you feel a little bit of responsibility to kind of fight for the next generation?
Yeah, and I did that in my way. I reported HR. Yeah. I told them you need diversity training. I told them what needs to happen. Yeah. I reported the situation, and it actually made changes.
I think that's great.
Which is good. I mean, like, it's a personal choice if you want to, how much you want to disclose. You know what I mean? It's up to you. But I'm still surprised how they don't know.
To be honest.
Well, maybe they were deaf and blind at the same time and working from Zoom.
Was this Helen Keller? Yes, okay, like... beep that.
No, we're going to keep that, you beast. But, you know, but a part of me, though, feels a little bit like, oh, why? I don't like that part of me, though. I don't like that I feel hesitant about, you know, not disclosing, like, you know, my personal life.
That's understandable. It's like that's many, many decades. I'm just kidding.
That's not me.
You're a beast too.
Many years of like internalized homophobia. Like, is this society's doing, making you feel that way? But I will say, like, for transparency, I do take a similar approach. And that's not necessarily because I feel like ashamed, but I do protect my energy.
Yes.
And I do, like, because work is stressful sometimes, not necessarily because of the people, but yes, a lot of times because of the people. And like, we live in such a capitalistic society where like your body and your energy and your time is like worth money. And like, sometimes it's not, it's you have to think about what's easier to get through your day.
Mm-hmm. So yep. Yeah, just pick which ones are worth it and not worth like adding to your basket for that day.
Yeah, choose your battles, right. And I do feel that there are moments where I compartmentalize, and I don't at all try to make friends with everybody at work. But to piggyback off of like what other folks have said of like, you're able to connect with maybe an individual, and that's like your work spouse. Like people call them your work spouse or your work husband, work wife, or whatever. Like that's a great person to have just confidential conversations, like that, to have a confidant at work, and an ally at work in that way is such a blessing for a lot of folks to have. Some people don't have that. If you can at least have one confidant at work, that can solve a lot of like mental labor, stress, emotional toll that people go through. Anyway, as a Gen Z, how would you respond, D?
Like I said, actually, I can relate to that work spouse. I've been lucky enough that every work situation I've gone to, I've found that one person that I can really actually take outside of work and build a relationship with. So that I've been lucky enough to do that. But also while at the workspace, we're able to kind of separate our personal lives and just really, go in and focus on work. Like you said, like this day, I'm just going to work, and it's not, I have to do a lot of things, and I am not going to disclose anything else that I've done. But they know that outside of that, I can relate to it. And I know McCoy is that type of person too, who will have like a work spouse.
I'm a polygamist at work, so I have plenty of work spouses.
I was going to ask how many work spouses you have.
Because, I have such a sunny disposition that everyone is just drawn to me. I just can't help it. Sorry. And I have their expense checks, so they have to be friendly to me.
I wish I had more work spouses. I have a few. I try to look for more, like... These
you're
days, I'm
trying to look for more.
No. What I'm trying to say. Well, yeah, I guess in a way, I am trying to look for more. More folks in the LGBTQ+ community that I can, like, be able to have conversations with, confidant conversations. Because, like, I've had, like, heterosexual work spouses before. And they sometimes it's just like you gotta explain things.
Yes.
And it's like, just like being Filipino, like having Filipino friends is great as a Filipino because they just understand. Like they get the jokes quicker. They pick things up a lot quicker. You don't have to like explain the punchline or like whatever emotional turmoil you're going through. They're not like questioning you. Like they get it.
Sometimes you just feel like you don't have the energy to teach and educate someone of what being let's say an LGBTQ instance or, scenario that you went through. It's just hard to explain. But I mean, I have some coworkers where I have to, outside of work, I have to explain like what is the coming out process and all that. I'm like, I just wish you knew, so I didn't have to go through and unpack all the trauma that I went through in the last 30 minutes again, trying to explain this to you.
Yeah. Oh, that's tough, especially in like professional settings, because like that's unpacking sensitive trauma, like you said.
Yeah.
And like sometimes those topics are not like classified as professional or like work appropriate, depending on like what an individual's experience was. So I don't know. Even then, even if you're having a conversation with a work person, like you still have to censor yourself, and that's like takes even more out of you.
Yeah, because I'd be like, you know what? First of all, our work does not pay for mental health.
You don't get mental health?
No, Greg, our insurance does not cover it. So now you're making me talk about it. Now I have to pay extra more for my session to call, you know, like that would be my thing at work. It's like, you're bringing this up. I'm traumatized. Now I have to pay extra just to talk to my therapist for another hour because he brought this up. Mm-hmm. Karen. Oh, well, there you go.
McCoy's HR. Call McCoy HR. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about empowering ourselves and other queers in our community.
So Mars, what na? Do you want to talk about everything and anything under the sun? Listen to our fellow Pinoy stories or just catch up? Big cuento?
Why not? Here at Mars What Na Podcast, everything is free-flowing, like the alcohol that we may or may not be drinking.
You've got your Kumaras Michelle and
Bethany here finding what makes us distinctly Pinoy. Our similarities, our differences.
Covering the topics about Pinoy experience from the motherland and abroad.
Catch us on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Kita kids.
We're going to start off this segment by talking about how do we empower ourselves and people in our community. So what's your thoughts?
I think you have to know yourself very well to feel empowered. It's not easy for everyone, but because oh my God, I wasn't supposed to go first.
I just saw that. I was like, wow, yeah. McCoy just jumped right in. You're like, just totally threw out the outline for this podcast.
I'm sorry,
and you're like,
but since I already started.
I mean, that's how he knows himself.
Yes.
Yeah, he's empowered. McCoy is definitely empowered on this podcast. Yes.
So let me continue. I think having gone through a lot of struggles with my sexuality in the past, I feel like I'm entitled to... how do I put this? I'm entitled to get to know myself and let that shine.
Snaps.
Because my sexuality is mine and my identity is mine. And if you have an issue with it, that's not my problem. You need to deal with that on your own, somewhere else.
A yun.
Oh, right on. How about you, Dustin? What's your thoughts?
I totally agree. I think the big piece of this is like you need to work on loving yourself because society, again, has like really encouraged us to hate ourselves. And then the Filipino piece to this is like, at least from my perspective, I grew up being very people-pleasy. So it's like I never had, well, not never, but I didn't have very many opportunities to just focus on allowing myself to shine and loving myself and like knowing and owning like how awesome I actually am. And I think my presumption is that there are a lot of people in our community who feel the same way and who live about the world like dulling their shine. And I think if I had somebody growing up as an example that was like, yes, I'm gonna just be me, like unapologetically like beautiful or whatever, right? Like, I feel that I would probably have come out a lot sooner. I probably would have been more comfortable in my skin a lot sooner. So I think to empower myself and empower the community is like really practicing self-love and being unafraid, or like understanding, maybe not unafraid, but like understand that there are going to be people who don't love you the same way, appreciate you the same way, and that's fine because at the end of the day, it's like... They don't matter. And it's cliche to say, but like the people who matter, or what is the phrase? The people who care don't matter. The people who think you matter, matter. I don't know, but y'all are trying to, you understand what I'm saying, right? Like the people who love you will be there and they're the ones that matter. So try to be as authentically you as possible. Of course, in the realm of professionalism, but I think also professionalism is very rooted in like white supremacy. We can get into that later, but like teetering the line between professional and authentic, like I think it's helpful to practice that, but like still centering this idea of like love yourself first and foremost, everybody else like worry about them second, fill your cup and then you can give.
I love the cup.
Yeah.
What? D, don't make any cup jokes. I know you're gonna say it.
Okay, because I was about to. But
what's the cup? What cup joke? It's like hashtag two girls one.
Oh. I was gonna ask what was in the cup, but you answered it already. But no, I'm with you. It's that finding that balance too. But I think how I gotten comfortable with myself was actually connecting with a community that supported me. So almost like I had an outlet where if I can share things outside of work, that way, if I feel like I needed to share it, I don't have to do it in a professional setting.
Yeah.
You know, you get what I'm saying? Like I guess I built the community outside of work where I can be myself and tackle any, either the high points and low points of being first POC and then LGBTQ.
Yeah.
And then I think having that resource or having that outlet it allows me not to carry on the burdens, especially if I'm going to come into a professional setting.
Right.
So I think that's a luxury that I've had. And by that, I can just be more myself without the extra baggage or knowing the limitations where, I'm here to work and I just need, like what Greg said, well, I do payroll, so I need to sign my own paycheck so I can go home and then buy my sewing machine that I'm going to make couch covers for my new couch later on. There you go.
I freaking love that. Do you actually sew? Like,
no, that's the thing. It's all on YouTube, and I'm about to watch a lot of videos on how to make couch covers. There you go.
Dude, you can learn anything on YouTube. Anything.
How do you think I started so photography? There you go.
Nice.
And just like that, D is now auntie. It's turned into an auntie. I'll say about this, like how do I empower myself in these professional settings? And I think, Destiny, you are correct to say a lot of professional settings tend to be very white. And I was thinking about, like, when I go into either, like, networking events or when I have to meet new individuals in professional settings, I do have some exercises I do before I enter spaces. One is I do, like, the Wonder Woman pose. Have you guys done Wonder Woman?
Yes, I have.
I only know the Darna pose.
The what?
Darna. But that means you have to swallow a pebble with you every time. What if there's no pebble for you to swallow?
Well, I'm sure there's plenty of things to swallow around.
Okay. In a professional setting.
Okay. What are we talking about here?
Okay, I have no idea. A pebble, a cup, and then swallowing? What the hell?
Okay, so the Filipino version of Wonder Woman is Darna, but for her to transform, she has to swallow this pebble.
The same pebble every time? Or yes. What kind of pebble is it?
Every time.
Does she, literally the same pebble? Or does she have a stash of pebbles?
It has to be the same pebble.
But that's what I question. Does she in a cup? So it's a circle.
Wait, does she have a pose, though?
She just yells
it
out.
Yes, she does.
Yeah. Well, no. She swallows the pebble, spins, and then yells, McCoy.
Darna.
There you go.
Well, I think that's right in line.
She puts her arm on the side or something.
Oh, that's
like
beautiful because it's totally in line with the Wonder Woman pose. So the Wonder Woman pose, if you're not familiar with this superhero goddess woman, it's this proven technique does actually work. It's when you stand up straight, legs slightly apart, and you just put your hands on your waist on both sides, and you put your chest up. And for some reason, this pose helps you empower yourself or feel empowered, and it actually works. And so when I go into professional settings, I would do that actually, but like go to the bathroom and do that. and then if I'm in the car, like heading to like some kind of work environment like this I'm not familiar with, I actually do a lot of vocal exercises. Because a lot of times in these settings, I realize that my voice tends to go a little bit lower or a little bit more like a little insecure a little bit. Because you're just surrounded by a whole bunch of people. You feel like you have to impress somehow. And so I do that. And then I also do like this. I have this idea of an hourglass. And the hourglass is what I say is like, when I enter a space that I'm not familiar with, two, that I don't know if it's a safe space to be queer. Mm-hmm. What I think about is like thinking hourglass. So when I enter the room, I was like, how do I make this a safe space? Like, how do I be my authentic self first and set a culture of that I am queer or that I'm a gay man, you know, before anyone else does. before anyone claims it as a straight space. Because I think naturally, maybe subconsciously, a lot of environments, they'd automatically make any space straight. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I think about. And that might be like saying, honestly, might be finding like an ally or someone that could probably relate to in a room and say, oh, like if it's a female, I always feel safe around females. I'm like, hey, girl. And that automatically sets a tone in a small environment. Or if I was like, it maybe could even come to style, right? Mm-hmm. If I see somebody like maybe it's a different color, something a little bit more out there, it actually changes the environment before anyone else does. And as the hourglass goes, if I don't do this, then I get more uncomfortable in a situation. Or I feel like I can't, it's not a safe space for me to be my authentic self. So I try to move fast in a room. I'm like, all right, how do we transform this room really quickly? You know, maybe I could identify maybe like, oh, probably someone with pink hair, maybe, right? With a shaved side. Mm-hmm. All right, you know, she's more open. And then I find out that she might be a lesbian. And then us two will start talking. And all of a sudden, the culture kind of changes in the room, you know? Because in some professional settings, they like to give a really tough handshake. You know, like yeah. Men do yes. typically. And you're like, oh my God, like.
It's all about like power, dominance
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I
and
do
so,
that.
You?
Yeah, I do.
But then McCoy does like, the tough handshake, but then he kind of like huh? Taps
I
with his middle
finger. Like, hey, no. Just in case.
He makes a little hole with his hand. Yeah, and he's like.
In case. You never know.
He just rubs the hand in the middle like that.
I know. He just tickles. He just rubs his finger right in the middle of the palm.
But like, with like a straight eye-to-eye contact and never breaking it. That's what he does.
Because, I mean, I see this type of situation all the time when you enter a space. You know, a guy would come in and be like,
yeah, dominance.
And be a little bit more louder. And then he would grab your hand and shake it. I'm like, yo, like, that's, like, you don't need to do that, yeah. You know? So I try to find subtle ways to change environments to make it safe for others. And then I think going back to what you guys were talking about earlier, because there's always a space where I think in our community where you feel that you might be rejected from an environment for being who you are. And so I always remind myself this is like, no one can reject you. You're the only one that can reject yourself. But I think, you know, I think overall, I feel like what we talked about is how do we live our authentic self all the time? Because if you're in a work environment in a setting where you can't be authentic, I think we've all been there at one point. And we don't, for at least for me, is like, I don't do my best when I'm not fully authentic.
I love all of what you all shared, especially this changing the space thing, because I think sometimes I need to remind myself that spaces are not automatically heterosexual, and like that's something that I need to unlearn. A lot of times I go into spaces thinking like, okay, like where's the enclave? It doesn't need to be like a small space just dedicated for me. Like the whole space can be safe for me. And like changing my mindset by like changing the space is such a new concept for me that I need to try working out too. I need to practice that.
That makes sense. I would like to actually like teach myself not to come in with that expectation that I have to change myself to fit in the space. Like I'm just realizing that now. Like I need to start doing that like I deserve that a spot in that space, and it's not me having to change it. Like you're right. Like this handshake thing where like the dominance of power, like sometimes you don't really have to be aggressive to show dominance, mm-hmm. like, which is the weird, you know, weird concept to me now that we've always been taught like firm handshake, meaning you're stern and you're going to be dominating, like, especially for interviews. But like COVID, I don't need to be shaking no one's hand.
Yeah.
right. To show that dominance. It's like, we have to have other ways that we can show we're empowered and like, be assertive without having this physical like broad shoulders thing in, you know, and kind of I'm bigger than you,
right?
Like persona kind of thing.
Well, I'm sorry that I have broad shoulders anyway, but...
Well, because I mean, like the padding. You got to remove the padding
The 80s padding.
With your sneakers that you change into.
I like what Dee said. And I like what Greg said about changing the space, but my way is claiming my space. Mm. You know, we all belong in this society and we all have a space. It's about making the space more diverse. Let's put it that way. That's the way I want to put it.
I also like having specific spaces for us.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, this is definitely the situation where you bring the damn cake and you cut it to yourself and you eat it too, kind of thing. Like, I want my own space, but I want to make sure that there's a space for me when I get in there as well that everyone's going to be acknowledging, you know? So it's, but I think that applies for everyone, right? You know, it's like ours is just that we're POC, LGBTQ, so we need that. But obviously, everyone else just kind of have that. It's just a matter of like acknowledging everyone's needs. Which is kind of hard in a professional setting because, like you said, they're rooted. But yeah, we're not going to go into that right now.
Let's just all be self-employed.
Or can we just continue like Greg is doing most of the time, work remotely? That's the easy. No, no, I can't. I can't
don't
do
like
that.
It. I can't. I need the social interaction. I just need
I
it.
Love I can't. Working I can't. Remotely.
I love it too.
Because here I am. I'm folding clothes, like doing everything else except for work.
Oh. But see, I'm well loved in the office, so they need me there. So,
were you a popular kid in high school, McCoy?
Actually, I wasn't. I'm very shy. I'm still very shy.
But it, you know, you're just show. So radiant. Your sunshine is just so addictive. You might not have seen yourself as a popular kid, but maybe you actually were. You just didn't know it.
Oh, no. Maybe. McCoy was popular when he was younger. That's
for
sure.
Oh, my gosh. That was after high school, though. I got popular for sure.
He was the most popular one ever.
We were so popular. Very popular.
It's not as flattering as it sounds.
It really... It's questionable. On that note, hey McCoy.
Yes.
What's a Filipino word of the day?
The Filipino word of the day is paghihikayat.
What did you just say?
Paghihikayat.
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 Let's try this again, Greg.
Paghihikayat.
How about you, Dustin?
Paghihikayat.
Okay.
Oh, no, okay.
Okay, it means doing...
Who said it better? Who said it better?
Dustin.
For real?
Yes.
For real.
He actually said all the letters that he needed to say.
With the right tone and everything. So.
Wow, guys.
You missed the G.
There's a G in there?
Yeah, it's paghihikayat. So it means to encourage. And actually, I had to change the word because paghihikayat, I think, is a noun. And hikayatin is the verb. So since the way I formulated the sentence, I had to use the verb form. It's like, it's more difficult than I imagine. So the sentence is, we need to hikayatin each other to speak our truths.
Hikayatin. We need to hikayatin.
Greg.
To, yeah.
I was going to say what Dustin said, what he said. And so, Dustin, now that we're closing this episode off, can you speak about MeSearch and other projects that you're working on?
Yeah, so MeSearch is going to premiere in the second season of MeSearch is going to premiere October. MeSearch, you can listen to MeSearch Mondays wherever you get your podcasts. We've got some really cool people on the show. Some other projects I'm working on. I'm working on a podcast called Proud to Share, or The Stories We're Proud to Share, which is a podcast featuring LGBTQIA+ voices, where we, individuals who are personally connected to the community, they meet, they discuss their lived experiences, whether they be similar or different. And the folks in the Gam Chat podcasts are featured guests on the Proud to Share podcast, so make sure to check that out.
Well,
that is going to be Wednesdays, every first and third Wednesdays of every month.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are the projects I'm working on. Also, another podcast called Have You Met, which features my friend Amer. I haven't told you all this yet, but basically Amer has been unlucky and lucky and unlucky in love. and he's a straight friend of mine who I told, like, let me just be your wingman. So the podcast is basically a series of dates where I ask him questions that anybody might ask him on a first date. And if you listen to the show and you feel like you want to be Amer's love friend, you can slide into his DMs, I guess.
Please slide them.
So that's on Tuesdays.
That sounds fun.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
It is fun. It's so good. You all should listen to it. I'll send you links.
Yeah, I love being a wingman for my straight friends when we go out. It helps them because then I.
But do they love it also?
Yeah, because I talk to the girl first if they're not like really wanted, and then because I'm like whatever, and then they slide into the conversation and I just slide out.
So they slide into their DMs.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're like a human roofie?
Whoa!
Oh my God, D! Wow! Are you saying that I knocked him out with my boring talking? What is this? Like,
no, it's just you're making the love connection. You're making the love connection.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you can see it as. But I'm like,
you know what, D? Just go back to your cup, all right? Just go back to your cup. Well, thank you so much for being a part of this episode and sharing these really cool projects. We're really excited to listen to them. Where am I? Just totally lost.
That's our show. That's it.
Yo, that's our show. That's it.
We're on social media on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Curious Cat at GamChat Podcast.
Or you can email us your questions to GamChatPodcast@gmail.com. Okay, I got it. And we are hinihikayat namin kayo to leave us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts app. There you go. See, it took me a while, but I got there.
Yeah. I'm still trying to... How do you translate what you just said?
We're encouraging you to leave us 5 stars.
There you go. Ding,
see?
Ding.
Oh, damn yes. It. I love this application of what we learned today.
Thank you. I'm learning again. Obviously, I can't retain knowledge very well. And on that, we'll catch you on the next one.